This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The Cibola County Correctional Center in Milan, New Mexico, has had its share of problems. The federal prison housing non-U.S. citizens has been privately run by the Corrections Corporation of America. CCA is one of a handful of big corporations that runs prisons across the country for profit. After a Nation magazine exposé of harsh conditions inside the facility, the Bureau of Prisons has decided not to extend CCA's contract for Cibola. Such an action is rare, despite similarly poor conditions being found at prisons around the country. My guest is Seth Fried Wessler. He's an independent journalist and senior fellow at the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism. He is the recipient of a 2014-2015 Soros Justice Media Fellowship, and he's covered problems at privately run federal prisons in the U.S. for The Nation magazine. Welcome to the program, Seth.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first, let's talk about the problems that you have found at Cibola County Correctional Facility. I understand that a lot of this is around medical care, right?
That's right. Well, Cibola County Prison is one of about a dozen federal prisons that the Federal Bureau of Prisons has decided to privatize and contract out to for-profit prison companies to manage. All of these prisons are used exclusively to hold people who don't have U.S. citizenship and have been convicted of federal crimes. So these are these sort of separate and, as I found in my reporting, really unequal system of federal criminal facilities for people segregated on the basis of national origin. I looked into a lot of these facilities, a number of them, over the last year, and have published a series of stories in The Nation about widespread medical neglect. The Cibola County Correctional Center, which is in rural New Mexico, was really the most troubled of these facilities. It racked up over the years more demerits from federal monitors for failures in the operation of its medical care unit than any other federal private prison. Yet, time and again, over and over again, the federal government decided to renew or extend the contract with the Corrections Corporation of America to run this really failing prison. Even as monitors were flagging failures, the contract was renewed. What's remarkable about what happened just a couple of weeks ago is that the federal government finally, just about 6 weeks after the release of my latest expose in The Nation, decided to terminate the contract before the end of the 10-year term with CCA for the operation of this prison. By the end of September, the men who are held inside, about 1,200 men, will be transferred to other facilities elsewhere in the country.
Now, when you say it terminated its contract, in that termination, was there anything specified about wrongdoing, any penalties for the problems inside the facility?
No. And in fact, this is the fourth time that the Bureau of Prisons has, only the fourth time that the Bureau of Prisons has ended a contract early with one of its contractors in the last decade. But never, including in this case, have the Bureau of Prison terminated a contract for default, because default terminations have implications later for a contractor's ability to get new contracts and might even affect, in a sort of less direct way, other contracts that that contractor currently operates for the federal government. This is a much less aggressive way to end a contract, but it's nonetheless very, very rare. And what's clear is that this prison has been struggling for years, unable to staff its medical department, operating at times without doctors for years on end, failing to provide prisoners held inside with basic medical care, HIV tests, tuberculosis care, very basic things. For 5 years in a row, some of these failures persisted, and the Bureau of Prisons never did anything to turn this, or rather didn't terminate this contract. Finally, 4 years before the contract was expected to come to a close in 2020, the Bureau of Prisons has now decided to walk away from the contract. Again, a no-fault cancellation of the contract.
Do you have any sense that the work that you did in exposing what the problems are inside Cibola County Correctional Facility might have played into the decision to terminate this contract?
This prison has been struggling for years. In fact, not long ago, the federal government issued what's called a cure notice to Corrections Corporation of America, a warning in effect that said, if you don't fix these problems immediately, we will shut you down. Well, those problems were not entirely fixed. In fact, the Bureau of Prisons found that a prisoner had died as a result of not being provided any mental health care. He was known to have significant mental health issues, had been on suicide watch in a facility before he was transferred into the Cibola facility. And about 2 weeks after he arrived in this prison was found dead, he had hanged himself in his cell. The prison was not immediately shut down after the Bureau of Prisons found that this man had killed himself, despite the fact that they had warned the facility, they had warned Corrections Corporation of America, that if it didn't fix these very kinds of medical negligence, this very kind of dereliction in its duty to provide medical care, that it would walk away from the contract. That didn't happen. It's finally happened now, and that came quite soon after we released this investigation in the nation. Neither the Bureau of Prisons nor Corrections Corporation of America responded to questions directly about the extent to which this closure had anything to do with medical care.
Well, certainly investigative journalism is so essential to shining the light on such stories that just wouldn't see the light of day otherwise. I mean, it seems as though when we step back and look at the story, this is a collusion between a private corporation and the federal government, that both are really to blame, that the Bureau of Prisons has turned a blind eye until embarrassed, perhaps, by pieces such as yours, and then CCA itself, of course, churning these prisons into profits rather than actually looking at them as facilities that house thousands of human beings. Well, Seth, how have the prisoners themselves, and again, we're talking about non-US citizens here, how have the prisoners themselves revolted in such facilities as Cibola?
Well, you know, these prisons, these low-security federal prisons, have actually been the sites of repeated prisoner protests that have often turned into riots. Recently, just over a year ago, a similar prison run by a company called the Management and Training Corporation erupted in a major protest that turned into a riot after prison guards used pretty significant force, including tear gas and rubber bullets and exploding BB-filled grenades to break up the protest. And the prisoners left this facility, the Bureau of Prisons said, uninhabitable. It was emptied. And this is another of the prisons that has lost its contract before it was supposed to end. In that case, only after prisoners basically burned the facility down. Much more recently, just several weeks ago, prisoners in the Eden facility, also in Texas, also run by the Corrections Corporation of America, engaged in a significant protest over conditions there. Several hundred prisoners refused to comply with orders from guards. This has happened over and over again, and it's rare in federal prisons for this to happen. But prisoners are organizing inside. The prisoners who are inside are almost all Mexican nationals. There's a commonality. It becomes possible for them to organize themselves into protests. And these protests are consistently at the top of the list of issues that they name are grievances over medical care in facilities that are operating for a profit. And I've talked to prison doctors who worked in these facilities, who told me explicitly that they faced pressures to cut costs, for example, not to send sick prisoners to the emergency room or to cut down the number of emergency room calls that were made in an attempt to cut costs, the sort of culture of austerity inside that had an impact on their ability to provide medical care. This is the context that these prisons operate in, and the context that prisoners repeatedly have been organizing protests against.
Now, Seth, have these privately run prisons gotten a little bit more attention in recent years? I believe it was President Obama became the first sitting U.S. president to tour the inside of a federal prison, privately run federal prison. Did that have any impact? Or are there elected officials with the power to do something about this, making motions towards better regulating these companies and the prisons they run?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, these facilities are actually monitored fairly aggressively. That is, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, when it set up this privatization experiment about 15 years ago, 20 years ago now, when the program was launched, set up a system of monitoring to make sure that the contractors were operating under and by the standards that the Bureau of Prison had decided to apply. The problem is that though those monitors repeatedly raise flags to raise concerns about failures, especially in medical care, officials in Washington have repeatedly failed to use the full enforcement muscle at their disposal. So rather than imposing full fines on these companies, or when the prisons become so derelict that it's dangerous, shutting them down, they let the operators continue to run these prisons, and at great cost to the men held inside. We found dozens of men had died as a result of substandard medical care, likely would still be alive today had they received baseline levels of care that we'd expect in any context. Those were findings that I established when I asked medical doctors to review thousands of pages of medical records I obtained through a federal open records request. Then later, I got more documents that showed that the Federal Bureau of Prisons actually knew about all of these deaths, had flagged them to the companies, told the companies to fix these problems. But according to a new report out from the federal government, there was no functioning system in place to make sure that when problems were found, that the prison companies actually did anything to fix those problems. And so prisoners held inside these private facilities have continued to suffer often for years, and men have died as a result.
Wow. So dozens of deaths, as far as you know, and that's not even talking about injuries, right? There's probably rampant injuries, rampant chronic diseases or illnesses that should be easily preventable. And we're talking about prisons that hold thousands of men here. What role does the fact that these are non-US citizens play in these conditions? I mean, we live in an era when immigrants are just written off as subhuman.
Well, I think there's two ways that the fact that these people are immigrants plays into this dynamic. I mean, the first is that the federal government has explicitly decided, has said that for-profit private facilities are more appropriate places for non-citizens because these prisons provide fewer programs and services that we would provide to U.S. citizens in federal prison. These prisoners were not obligated to provide those kinds of services to people who will later be transferred to immigration authorities and deported. So there's an explicit decision that these separate and unequal prisons are appropriate places for immigrants. And then the families of these people who are incarcerated, of the men who are incarcerated, are very often in Mexico, very often far away. The sort of first line of advocacy for people, their families, really have no access whatsoever to the prisons at all. Prisons in general cut people off from their communities, from their homes. These prisoners, these men, are doubly cut off. They're both inside of a walled prison, but their families and communities are sometimes over borders, far, far away, and they really disappear into these facilities.
Well, Seth, where's the best place for people to read your writings about these exposés that you've worked on?
So you can find my work at thenation.com and listen to a radio version of my reporting at revealnews.org. We have an hour-long episode about federal prisons and neglect in these federal prisons that you can check out.
We'll post links to that from our website later today. Seth, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Seth Fried-Wessler is an independent journalist and senior fellow at the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism and the recipient of a 2014-2015 Soros Justice Media Fellowship, and he's covered the problems at privately run federal prisons in the U.S. for The Nation magazine. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.